I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, you lovely lot. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's clear and obvious there aren't many factual decisions in football. It's Tuesday, the 8th of December. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Hulk Donaldson.
Yeah, before we get stuck into VAR, once again, I feel like we're repeating ourselves, but there is some big news, ladies and gents. Huge news. Put your seatbelts on. Pete Donaldson is hitting the road.
Yes.
Oh,
I've
God.
Got my scooter registered, Jules.
Oh, no.
I cannot stress this enough. Icy roads, Pete Donaldson out on the roads. It's going to be a terrible Christmas for several families in the Hertfordshire area.
Why in winter have you chosen this to be the time?
It took me that bloody long to get it on the road. The insurance. I can't insure it until I've got registration. Can't get a registration until I've got an insurance. I was caught in no man's land. But luckily, the good people of the DVLA in Swansea sorted me right out. And I am very, very happy I can now go to Tesco's.
Well, you see, recently, of course, we've been paying tribute to the late, great Diego Maradona. Mm. And it made me think of when I went to Naples, there were loads of Vespas with, like, sort of pictures of Diego on and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. What have you got on your Vespa? A big Newcastle United crest?
Yeah.
Andy Carroll?
Just a big learner plate. And scratches. Lots of scratches and burns. Yeah, I mean, look, if I can be as half as careful with my moped driving the good people of Naples, I'll be all right, I think, because they are nightmarish.
That was the only time in Naples that I've been genuinely scared for my life in a taxi.
I mean, the taxis drive so quickly through those windy kind of up and down cobbled streets is incredible. I don't know how they managed to do it in between all of the mopeds.
Well, our guy was a very skilled driver because he didn't once look at the road whilst he was driving. He was just turned round speaking to us.
Cool. Nice.
I'm actually totally with you, Andy. It does not feel safe on the roads out there, does
no.
it? And we debated when I went to Sorrento last year, the days when we could go on holiday, whether or not to get a car and actually drive ourselves around. I'm actually really glad we didn't because, honestly, I was terrified. Terrified.
In between Naples and Sorrento, there's that tunnel that goes on for about 15 days. It's insane.
And if you've watched Back to the Future, you'll know that if you go through a tunnel that long, you are going to get a load of shit dumped on you at the end of it.
Exactly.
Talking about shit being dumped onto the end of it.
Yes!
Yes!
That is why Jules gets the big money. Come on!
VAR ruining a game at the Amex yet again. I think it's probably the place we have to start with the match at the Amex last night. Finished a 2-1 win to Southampton. A penalty being awarded. It was around the 81st minute. I'm sure you've seen it if you're listening to this now, but if not, let me explain what happened. Walker Peters running towards the box with the ball. Solly March fouls him outside of the box. The foul sort of carries on through into the box. The referee points to a free kick for Southampton. And then VAR takes a look at it and decides that actually there was enough contact in the box that despite the fact that there was a foul outside of the box, it was in fact a penalty. Right. Let's see what you guys think about this, Andy.
It's very inconclusive, isn't it? I mean, I must have watched it a fair few times, and to the extent where I think it's the only thing that I can actually remember from the match. And I think it's absolutely impossible to tell, even with the amount of replays we have. I think it's quite difficult to tell, and so it must be a little bit infuriating. I'm interested to know, though, now we've finally got fans back inside the stadium, I'd be really interested to hear from any Ramblers who've been to a Premier League game in this last couple of days. You know, we've been subject to annoying VAR decisions from the comfort of our own homes. What's it like being back in stadiums in December? Because this was always, for me, the worst bit of VAR. That is such an unedifying experience for the spectators in the stadium. Now you're back there. Have you like waited like 9 months to get in? And if you're a Brighton fan, think, oh, that shit, maybe I won't go again.
Yeah, my mate was actually there last night, and he texted me at the time saying, What happened? Like what was going on
exactly.
there?
Exactly.
Because I couldn't see it from my seat. Was it a foul? Was the first thing he asked me. He said looked like a foul. Was it in the box? Was it outside? Now, at the time in the game, whenever you see a referee pointing to his ear and saying VAR, you know, checking something, the longer that check goes on, the more you think to yourself, okay, well it's going to be a penalty then. So there was no doubt in my mind that they were going to give a penalty. But actually, when you look at the scenario over and over again, as you've pointed out, Andy, it wasn't very clear. Ralph Hasenhüttl said after the game, it was clear. I'm not sure what he's looking at to see that is completely clear that it's a penalty. I think that obviously I'm going to be annoyed because I'm a Brighton fan, but in any situation with VAR, from what we've seen this season, is that there is just no consistency. Solly March said that after the game. It feels like they're just random decisions. And I'm totally with him on that. We've had some go for us. We've had some go against us. And it's going to happen to every team in the Premier League this season. I'm not just annoyed because I'm a Brighton fan. I'm annoyed for every football fan when it comes to these decisions not being made consistently. And especially with one like that, the reason apparently that's been given by the PGMOL is that it's a factual decision whether it's inside the box or outside the box. I understand that.
Is it though?
But
it's one of those things where you sort of go, no matter how many times you look at that, I don't think you can really conclusively. So that's why referees' decisions are, you say, yes, it was a penalty, or yes, it was a foul, but it was outside the box. Like, a decision has to be made, but the more you look at it, the more difficult it gets for anybody. Referee, people down at the park. I found that it was like
down at the park.
Down the park.
when
two cartoon characters have a fight and they just turn into like a whirlwind and arms are coming out and stuff and the whirlwind moves around. It just looked like that. I could not tell where the foul had started. Same. It was just a bit of a mess, really. I felt really sorry for anybody trying to untangle that mess.
But the way VAR was sold in the first place, it was about facts. It was about accuracy. Yeah. I don't really feel that this falls under that at all.
And especially how long. And with decisions like that, it just takes a bloody long time for them to get it right.
I thought the whole point was that in a situation like that, if the referee gives a free kick, and then you can see from the replay clearly that it's in the area, then you say, look, mate, you've made a mess of it. Just change your decision. But no, that's not the case.
No.
It's to make you freeze half to death on a Monday night on the South Coast.
It's just I really want to know that they're definitely communicating with the park and they're not listening to a podcast. I'm listening to Serial. Adnan Syed. She's never gone down for it.
I think a good point that was made in the post-match coverage by Jamie Carragher was it would actually help if we could hear the conversation that they're having.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
I mean, it would just be sounds of like papers and go, what? Steve, unplug your phone. The screen's gone off.
You're charging your iPad again.
Yeah.
I think that's right, but it's a cultural thing, isn't it, Jules? Because English referees are not used to communicating or justifying their decisions. Now, obviously, when you're talking about, or Jamie Carragher's talking about hearing it, that's, I guess, thinking of like rugby or NFL or something like that. To be honest, I'm not too sure how that necessarily applies to football, but culturally we're so far away from that because, for example, in the Bundesliga, if there's a contentious decision, the referee will come out and explain it afterwards.
Yeah.
But we're not even there.
No.
So we're not going to be at the point where there's a sort of that sort of transparency in the decision-making process.
I'll tell you precisely why it is, though. Every single Premier League level referee here in England, they all have ridiculous voices. Martin Atkinson, very high voice. Michael Oliver, very high voice. Mike Dean, ridiculously high voice. They've all got helium-level voices, and they don't want anyone to know.
Is that not because they're excited?
Very excited.
People say that about commentators, don't they?
Yes.
when they reach the goal pitch.
Yeah, oh, beautiful. Lovely. Or the Neville.
Well, it was another penalty, and of course, with Danny Ings returning for Southampton, he came on at half time for them. There was no other way this was going to go.
Jules, you look crestfallen, absolutely crestfallen.
It's just another game, Pete, where Brighton. Yeah. To be fair, I think on balance at the full time whistle, it was fairly even. So I think a draw for both sides would have been what would have felt right. But you don't always get the decisions you feel. Well, you don't usually get the results that you feel like you should in matches. Mm. That's just how football is. And that's fair enough. You know, I can take it on the chin. It's just annoying, isn't it? I
mean, it's just my chin is annoyed.
It's just so annoying.
You need all the luck you can get, really, don't you, against goal of the month, Southampton. Of course, two of the six match of the day goal of the month finalists were Southampton. So how do you resist
impressive.
That? Or, not at all if you're Villa, because they conceded three of the goal of the month, didn't they?
You see, Wilden-esque.
Exactly. I always found that quite a source of pride. Like the idea that, you have to score a blockbuster to beat us, baby.
It takes two to tango when it comes to legendary goals. Fantastic, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Southampton and just how good they've been this season. And there's been a couple of games lately where, yes, they've been good for spells. And then you look at the United game last week and the fact that they were 2-0 up and ended up losing 3-2. And you could see that they've also got it in them to just sort of crumble away a little bit. But last night, just again, it was. I thought it was a really good game, actually. And I'm going to say that because I'm a Brighton fan and I enjoyed watching it. But until the 81st minute, should I say. but yeah, it's just another good result for Southampton. They're fifth in the table now, 12 points better off than at this stage last season. I mean, I feel like it's contractual that we mentioned the 9-0. but since then, it's crazy how well they've done and how well they continue to do.
And I think really, if you look at that squad of players, it's not a phenomenal squad by any stretch of the imagination. It's kind of, I guess, what I was saying about David Moyes at West Ham recently, that you have to give him an enormous amount of credit, because West Ham were a squad full of talent, but a really unbalanced squad and players who were really underachieving. And of course, he's done well with a couple of signings. But I think you look at the coaching that has gone into the players to actually make them better. I think we sometimes, because we're so excited about the transfer window, we can almost forget that that's possible. But I think Southampton are another very good example of that. You know, players who've been coached to be better than they previously were. Because we have a handle on most players. You know, is either good, average, or, you know, people do say it even about Premier League players, which is absolutely ridiculous or rubbish. But the idea that you can go in there, actually work with individuals as well as the collective, and make them that bit better. And I think there's evidence of that all over the Southampton squad from Hasenhüttl.
Mm. When you lose Ings out of your side, is it not just such a big loss?
Mm.
Not just simply because Ings is a very good footballer, just because he's a player who knows how to play to his system, presumably. Mm. Is that the case?
Yeah.
And you know what? He scored that penalty. We talked about the controversy over the penalty. He buried that in such a heartless way, didn't he?
No, honestly, no one is saving that penalty. No. It's absolutely brilliant. So aside from the fact that the result didn't go Brighton's way, it was lovely to see fans back at the Amex. Mm. I got a little bit emotional, actually. It was really nice at the start just seeing fans back there after all this time. The first time, I mean, we did have that test run against Chelsea just before the season began. So it's the first time since then that we've seen fans back in the stadium. It was just lovely. And I was sat there watching the game, and quite early on, I think it was about sort of like, maybe like 5 minutes into the game, I heard a fan go, "Come on, Solly," like that. And I went, "Yeah." And I was sat on the sofa. I went, "Yeah, come on, Solly." I went, "Isn't that lovely? Just hearing the real fans screaming." And then Paul, my other half, pointed out that we were actually watching it on Main Event and it was the fake crowd noise. I was like, brilliant. Oh, no.
Well, we
Solly went, "Yeah, I will come on." Oh, no.
we know that that's fake because you can't call him Solly. You have to call him Solly March the whole time, don't you? You have to say his full name.
It's like Solly Montari. Honestly. You can't just say Montari, can you?
Exactly.
I was so embarrassed. I was getting emotional over fake crowd noise. And then we switched over and put it on the real crowd noise, and it was like pretty quiet.
Paul turned FIFA on and was in tears.
Yeah. He went to me, "Do you think 2,000 fans are making that much noise?" And I was like, "Yes." that's how fooled I've been.
It's the famous Amex
roar. Yeah. I know, but there you go. Lovely to have the fans back, despite the fact that we still have no idea what happens with VAR when we're in a stadium. I'm sure we'll get there eventually. Right, let's get on to something else that happened yesterday. The 2022 World Cup qualifiers have been announced. I actually forgot that there was a World Cup coming because all I've been focusing on is the fact that the Euros has obviously been pushed back until next year. And it kind of feels weird to already be talking about the World Cup when we're still sort of talking about the Euros coming. I don't even know. Yeah. To be honest, Pete, I was like, World Cup qualifiers? I was like, what?
Can we just deal with the alligator closest to the canoe, please?
Yeah.
Because we haven't done the one tournament first. It's,
I know.
What I love about, have you seen the new logo for the World Cup? It's that beautiful shawl. It's like a shawl in the, it's the shawl that presumably women wear in the winter months in Qatar, and it's this beautiful kind of shot in a kind of figure of eight in the shape of the World Cup trophy.
Is that like a step on from the Russia one, which is kind of similar, wasn't it? It kind of looked like sort of, you know, some hidden gold was melting or something.
But apparently the mascot is going to be released and revealed before the end of this year.
Really?
Because I've always loved a World Cup. Since Italian 90s weird kind of stickle brick kind of creation, I've always been obsessed with the old mascots.
Yeah, you know, when I went to the Euro Under 21 Championship final, I guess it must have been last year now, they've just refitted out the toilets at the Udinese Stadium.
Oh, lovely.
And they've done it in a retro style. They've tiled it with the Italia 90 mascot.
I like that.
Very good.
Very much.
I didn't know that you like mascots for World Cups so much. I've actually got one of the little teddies from the Russia World Cup.
Oh,
if you want it.
Mate.
Do you want it? Can we stick that onto your moped if you like?
Yes, please.
Zabi Vaca. That's what he's called. Zabi Vaca.
Zabi Vaca.
Yeah, he's like a mini celebrity in our house because, you know, they're very much of that age. Yeah. My children, where they're like World Cup teds. They've each got a Zabi Vaca hat as well.
I love it.
Which, yeah.
Aww. I look forward to the Bedouin bear that we're going to be getting.
isn't it terrifying when you see like a massive lorry and it's just got a teddy stuck to the front of it?
Yeah. It's like we've killed this.
we've killed this teddy.
It's like Mad Max, isn't it? It's horrible. It's always dirty.
Road accident in Alaska.
Yes. Stick the Russian and mascot onto your moped, Pete. That'll be a good look. The groups then, what do we reckon about England? So they've got their group I, England, Poland, the biggest opponents in the group, Hungary, Albania, Andorra, and of course San Marino. Of course it had to be. But for England, Poland, so it's going to be tough, isn't it, Andy?
Kane versus Lewandowski is what it is all about. It's going to be exciting.
Delicious.
And bear in mind that Lewandowski has been getting better and better and better in his 30s, partly because of...
33 now, is he?
Coming up. So partly because of his nutritionist wife, partly because he's not in a sulk about going to Real Madrid anymore. But he's got this whole leadership role, both for Poland, because the previous coach didn't really treat him as a star player, Adam Nawalka. He just said, well, you know, it's great that he puts in an effort for the team. He's like, but he's your best player. You have to provide for him. And they never really got there. He never really got his head around that. So, you know, he scored a decent amount of goals for Poland recently. Obviously, he's on fire for Bayern as well.
13-10 or something crazy like that.
It's unreal. It's absolutely unreal.
At his age.
And he's getting better and better. So by the time March arrives, I mean, maybe it'll be even better because he's getting incrementally better and better all the time into his 30s. I feel that can happen with centre forwards nowadays
with nutritionist wives, exactly, with the
right diet and all that sort of stuff, and the fact that he feels settled and he feels valued. I think that's really important. But you look at that group, and Hungary, of course, have qualified for the Euros as well. I mean, yeah, it should be really straightforward for England. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
But there's a few pitfalls.
There are, because I think you're looking at improved Poland, improved Hungary. And the fact that, just because, as you were saying, Jules, we haven't quite got our heads around it, the fact that these games are going to happen between March and November next year, that is a lot of international games to play. I mean, if you look at that international window in March, they've got to play the first three qualifiers all in that window. So there's presumably going to be some inconsistency. There's presumably going to be some clubs putting pressure on some of the players to skip internationals if that happened. Obviously, it doesn't happen, but if it happened, that might happen. So I think that there's going to be a level of unpredictability in these qualifiers that maybe we might not initially expect.
I do you reckon that Scotland have got a better group than England? I would say probably definitely. Austria are a good side, but you sort of go, you know, Scotland know everything they could possibly know about Israel because they play them every 5 minutes. But
you would actually be crying when you saw Israel again, wouldn't you? too much.
But I mean, look, I mean, they're probably not going to top the group, but
Kate Mason's Faroe Islands.
Yes, indeed.
Come on.
Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. For Wales, they're in Group E with Belgium, Czech Republic, Belarus and Estonia. That's going to be pretty tough for Wales, you'd imagine, especially playing, even though they've already knocked out, they knocked out Belgium in the quarterfinals of Euro 2016. So they have got previous, but that was 4 years ago, and this Belgium side have come along quite a bit since then, haven't they?
And Wales can play with some freedom as well, because they've got the fallback of having won their Nations League group, so they're guaranteed a playoff at the very least. So they're in a good spot. I feel sorry for Northern Ireland because, you know, they weren't a million miles away from qualifying for the Euros. They were brilliant in the semis against Bosnia. And now they're in this group with Italy, Switzerland, Bulgaria and Lithuania. You just think, that is a climb. That is going to be really difficult.
That's grinding out now. Nil-nils everywhere.
Yeah, so, Andy, in terms of qualifying, is it the top two that go through, or is it the top two and then third places in a playoff?
No. Nations League winners get a playoff, or if those Nations League winners are qualified already, the next one down in their group.
Right, got it. So, 2022 World Cup, that's obviously a couple of years away now, but it's going to be quite a different World Cup. We're going to be playing it in the winter. How are you feeling about this now, Pete? You got your head around it a bit?
Not really. I'm looking forward to, it's going to be like the food's presumably going to be amazing. The music is great, like that kind of Qatari folk music, all about pearling. Remember, like most like Qatari folk music is all about collecting pearls and how difficult it is to collect pearls. And like, how much can you sing about collecting pearls? They're in the sea. Grab them. Come back with them.
Oh, dear. Well, we've got it all to look forward to. And a Christmas off, which I will bang on about every single time we talk about the 2022 World Cup. It means that as people who work in football, we'll actually have a Christmas off for the first time ever. All right, let's move on now. Pete, you've got something a little bit tasty for us.
I'm not sure about that. Let's do this.
I prefer to kill him.
I prefer to kill him. It's time for Portmantonio Conte. The game is called Portmantonio Conte, and the rules are very simple. I've got two clues pertaining to two footballers whose names have been joined together. You guys just need to guess who they are. I'm going to give you an example. Banned from driving after being caught driving 6 miles over the speed limit after a stressful meeting with Mike Ashley. I was shot and killed by a bodyguard from a Colombian drug cartel. That is, of course, Kevin Keegan Andres Escobar. And
That is a niche clue for Keegan.
Well, there's so much. Who else is going to have an emotional meeting with Mike Ashley? Literally every manager who's ever managed under him, correct? So, Jules, you, it's the first time you're going to be playing this. Two players become one. Do you understand how this works?
I think so,
Kevin,
yeah.
And Sonny Pike? Hit me. Philippe Alberti Vaux? That sort of thing.
Yes.
So I'm not going to repeat the clues. I'm not going to give you further clues. Your time starts as soon as I say go. And then when you hear Kevin De Bruyne, your time is over. Are we clear?
We are clear. Wait, so is this it's just me?
It's you and Andy.
Okay,
so
both
you shout out as soon as you know the answer. But as soon as we hear Kevin De Bruyne, it's game over, babies.
Okay, right. Got it.
Cool. Right. Your clue. Born in Portsmouth, and I've played for Vitesse, Derby, and now play for Chelsea. While playing for Wrexham, I laundered money through the youth players.
I want to say Mason Mount Tiki Thomas.
I don't know the rules anymore, honestly.
That's not correct, is it?
You got the right players, but you got them the wrong way around.
Oh, really?
Tiki Tom Mason Mount.
Oh, no!
Oh, Andy Brassel!
You put them in the wrong order. You've got to order them.
You've got to give them. It to him.
Do I, though?
Yes.
I thought you'd just know which way to put them.
Oh, Donnie.
You've got to give it to him,
Oh, Jules, I'm
this
so...
is a disgrace.
Jules, I'm so, I have, it's, I've never seen him so disappointed. I've never seen that.
Oh, man.
I feel so bad.
Look at him. He's absolutely raging. I don't think he can continue.
He's doing a Didier Drogba. It's a fucking disgrace. He's eyeballing me. You know, Andy, I'm going to give you that because you're right. I did get the clues in the wrong way around. Not thinking that you would stick to the rules. And thank you for that. Did you enjoy that, Jules?
I did enjoy that, mainly because I got to see a very angry Andy Russell.
I just didn't think he had that competitive streak. But he does. He does.
Of course he does.
What was it? Mason Mount...
Mason Mount Tiki Thomas.
I think I like that better. He's the new mascot for the World Cup.
Lovely stuff. All right, on that note, let's take a break.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join us for a very Clash of the Titles Christmas, because we're doing what every family does at this time of year. Arguing about which film is better. We've proof this pod is good for your Elf, as Elf takes on Santa Claus the Movie.
With Santa Claus the Movie, for years, I couldn't walk past a slice of ham. Reaching for it like a grubby
street urchin.
Yeah, swear to God.
We're doing that festive thing of overindulging in sweet stuff. It's The Holiday versus Love Actually.
I've never seen women apologise so much for being women as in The Holiday.
And yes, they are Christmas movies. We've got Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
I'm so bored of that question, so let's flip it. Is Christmas a Die Hard movie?
That's Clash of the Titles this December. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Football Ramble with me, Jules, Andy Brassel and Pete Donaldson. And now it's time for this.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vishor, Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Yes, make sure you get in touch. Email show@footballramble.com or send us a tweet on Twitter @footballramble. Pete, what we got?
We've got one from Rob McKellar. Growing up in Bournemouth, this is all about ropey dad behaviour at football matches, by the way. Growing up in Bournemouth, I used to frequent Dean Court to watch the Mighty Cherries, who for a big part of the 90s were absolute trash. 50p for a cushion to sit on as the seats were bare wood. Eddie Howe, a glamorous centre-back, that sort of thing. That sounds quite nice.
That's good enough for Milan, you know, sitting on a little cushion on the seat.
Is that what they do?
It's a big part of the San Siro experience.
I like that a lot. My dad and I devised our own commentary to liven up another dour draw, with his favourite being "Cometh the hour, cometh the man," insert name of player, whenever AFCB had a corner. Big Steve Fletcher being a favourite name. Please Google to see how small his shirt looked on him. Skin tight before the rugby players did it. My uncle, by contrast, had season tickets at Stamford Bridge, so as an impressionable kid, I went up to London to watch games with him and promptly became a Chelsea fan. Oh, disappointing, isn't it, for the other other relations. The midweek Champions League games of the era being a particular thrill. My dad and I somehow got my uncle's tickets to the infamous 4-2 Barcelona game up after we drove after school to watch one of the best games I've ever seen. Completely caught up in the moment, two country bumpkins in the big city, a corner came in and my dad shouted, "Cometh the hour, cometh the man, John Terry!" About a second before JT scored the fourth goal, Cavallo dragging Valdes to the floor as he did so. My dad was absolutely mobbed by surrounding fans in the celebrations, and for the rest of the game was turned to as some kind of clairvoyant whenever we had a set piece. Needless to say, he dined out on this for years. Dad behaviour. Good dad
proper
behaviour.
Marvellous.
That's a good bit of detail that you added there, Pete. I mean, really, it's like the dad was Victor Valdes and the other Chelsea fans were Ricardo Cavallo.
Yeah. Indeed.
Nice. There's also one from Stephen Carter Woodhead who says, "Hello, Ramblers. After hearing your request for dad behaviours at football, I thought I'd share a story from a friend's dad who supports Huddersfield. After an away match, which saw multiple diving incidents by the slugs that are Arsenal at the Emirates, my friend's dad decided enough was enough and was going to make an example of the Gunners squad at the reverse fixture. Every home match, he'd be at the players' entrance signature hunting and welcoming players to the ground, which is top-tier dad behaviour in itself. But he then stepped up his dadness for this match. Turning up to greet the Arsenal squad, in a swimming cap and swimming goggles and operating the team when they walked off the bus. He then made his way to the front of the signing section of the ground, right next to where the Arsenal players were scheduled to do their warm-up, still wearing the full swimming outfit. He commandeered a megaphone from the singing section and gave the away team a piece of his mind about their previous diving antics for the full hour-long pre-match warm-up, hoping to give Huddersfield the mental edge. We lost the game 2-1. This was made all the more hilarious that his 17-year-old son was in the stand next to him looking slightly embarrassed with his friends mocking him for the rest of the season for his dad's performance. This is the sort of story that sounds made up.
You see,
see men like that, though, don't you? You see men doing that with their little signs and their little silly things they think they've thought in their head that's cool.
I don't think this is dad behaviour, though.
Right.
Because the whole experience of, you know, remember when you were a teenager... Mm. Everyone always says, oh, your dad's a great laugh. He's really cool. And you go, no, he's not. He's a dickhead. and that's the thing. It shouldn't be the case that everyone thinks your dad's a dickhead.
I mean, Jules, I don't know about you, but nobody ever thought my dad was cool.
Do you know what? I go to the football quite a lot with my dad. And I was trying to think of a story of my dad doing something really like, loserish at a game, and he's not my dad's actually pretty cool.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Come on, dad.
My dad hates football, so the only experience he's had at football was him taking me in our first match at St. James's Park, me and a kid called Fraggle. it was against Aston Villa, Peter Beasley whipping it in for Les Fernandez, whack it in at the header in at the far post. What a goal. And he lost us for a long time. He didn't realise what 40,000 people looked like coming out of a football ground. He just thought, I'll find them. He didn't find us for ages. He just went to the pub for a couple of hours. He'd had a skinful, couldn't find us, and genuinely thought he'd lost someone else's kid. And perhaps more pertinently, his kid. So, yeah. I'm glad he's not allowed in the ground.
Brilliant stuff. Andy, you've got it all to look forward to when your boys start thinking, oh, my dad's not very cool, is he?
I prefer a cardboard dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, love it. All right. Now, there's been a story this week that I absolutely loved from Serie A. The Bologna manager, Sinisa Mihailovic, is suspecting that one of his players is leaking the team news to the press. I love it. He's now changed his tactics in training to try and catch the little slug out. I loved his quote. This is what he said. He said, I only tried out a new formation to find out who the fuck is talking to journalists. I did it on purpose because no one was expecting it. So now I'm investigating. I'm not actually thinking of changing the tactical setup. No, no. There's someone on the inside who's talking and I promise I'll find him. When I find him, things will get ugly.
Chilling. Absolutely chilling.
This is horrific. I mean,
don't do it before Inter. Just don't change your formation before Inter. That's a wasted day. Yeah,
they lost 3-1, didn't they?
He's a terrifying bloke at the best of times.
Yeah.
I would be reading this and thinking, but this sort of level of intrigue to like catch the perpetrator... I mean, one, it's good to know he's not paranoid. He is paranoid. but it's also, this is Agatha Christie level, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah. It's Rebecca Vardy all over, isn't it? Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
I thought the way that she worded that Instagram post, it seemed like it had gone through a few legal changes, haven't we? Like, it was clearly a very carefully written Instagram post, and obviously it looks like it's not going great for her, but wow.
She's got the money. It's all about the social media wins, right?
Exactly. But I would not mess with Sinisa Mihailovic. He wears a lot of like Peaky Blinders caps, which is very enjoyable. He defeated leukemia last year, didn't he? Like, he checked into a hospital.
He did.
He checked into a hospital under a fake name. And just saw leukemia off. I would not be leaking anything to the press.
He was still coming and coaching most of the games during that period as well.
Wild. Absolutely double hard. Wild.
Madness. By the way, just on Colleen and old Rebecca Vardy, I do love a ladies' magazine, a gossip mag. And
Jules has ladies' magazines. I love them too, Jules.
Do you like ladies' magazines, Pete? They're basically saying that Colleen's got the backing of the other WAGs. And the headline in Heat this week was "The WAG Mafia's Warning to Rebecca Vardy." I love this idea that there's a WAG mafia.
It's good to know she's not lost the dressing room after one defeat.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely.
Oh, love it. Right, Dortmund. This is something that I totally missed, Andy, until you brought it to my attention. A bit of a left field partnership with SpongeBob SquarePants. Tell me about this.
Yeah, well, they've got a partnership with Nickelodeon. And the first part of that partnership with Nickelodeon is that they're doing a collaboration with SpongeBob SquarePants, which obviously involves Dortmund SpongeBob like T-shirts and all that sort of stuff. It also has a very enjoyable video in which Dan Axel Zagadou, their big central defender, is dancing with SpongeBob.
Come on. Now, if you can't enjoy that... I want to find every... I think this is a really good kind of like idiot detector on Twitter. If anyone's got a problem with that, they have to move away. They have to live on an island with all the other idiots because this is joyous.
It's the ultimate
nonsense.
As well, because you look at SpongeBob and the amount of like yellow-wearing teams that he could collaborate with. I mean, there's a very small number, and Dortmund are obviously the pinnacle. So they've gone in big, and they have to make the most of this collab, I think. But I bet Michy Batshuayi is wishing he never left Dortmund because, of course, he had that quite successful loan spell there.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that I always found amazing about Batshuayi, he was such a fan of SpongeBob SquarePants, or as they call him in French, Bob l'éponge.
Bob l'éponge.
Stop it.
Surely they could handle SpongeBob SquarePants or pantaloons.
No, the thing is, it just literally means it means Bob the Sponge.
So basically,
they've gone, we're not having these SquarePants.
Yeah,
this
why
is
are they
ludicrous.
Not, what have they got against SquarePants? Pantsless square.
We are more elegant than that in Paris.
We would never do square pants at Paris Fashion Week. I do not think so.
So you know when you see the players like come in when they come off the team coach and they come in the players' entrance, they're all holding their Vuitton bags or they've got Vuitton rucksacks or whatever.
Yeah.
An admirably long time, and for all I know, he still does. Batshuayi used to come in with his SpongeBob SquarePants backpack on. So when he was at Marseille, when he arrived at Chelsea, all of that, he stuck to it the whole way.
I love that.
That's
that. There was a lad who had that Pornhub bag for quite a while, I seem to recall.
Was there?
No, it wasn't in Italy.
I can't remember. I'll find out who it was. But and then Pornhub, I think, sent him a load of products. And he just added to his collection, really.
That's how it works. Oh, I love it. Brilliant stuff. Right, let's move on. Champions League is back tonight. Manchester United need a point to go through. They're facing Leipzig. Sort of the headline heading into the game tonight is all this Paul Pogba news that seemed to come out in the last 24 hours or so. His agent, Mino Raiola, has spoken and said that Paul Pogba is unhappy at Manchester United and he needs a change in order to reach his best. I mean, what's he trying to achieve here?
The timing's interesting, isn't it, Jules? But I think the thing to know always about Mino Raiola, he doesn't necessarily discuss this stuff with his clients before sounding off. So I think saying that Pogba is trying to get a message out is a bit of an assumption, really. Because, you know, you remember with Ibrahimovic, for example, where he was at LA Galaxy, and he's like, why are you wasting your life playing in the MLS? So Raiola will say what he wants. It is interesting because there is a summer of decision for Pogba coming up. There's a sense that maybe he's not as central to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's thinking as he once was, and he's never really been that central for Manchester United. Given that he arrived as the most expensive player in the world, they've always just fit him in somewhere. They've not really built the team around him. Now Solskjaer pledged to do that, and has maybe circumstances made him move away from that. I think despite that goal at the weekend, you think they could continue to do pretty well and get better without Paul Pogba. But I guess if he's not going to sign again, that gives Manchester United a decision because they already tacked the extra year on his contract. But that means when we get to next summer, he's just got a year left. Mm. So they've got to sell him if he's not going to stay, right?
Is Raiola just kind of just, he's looking at a bit of stock that's kind of returning diminishing amounts of...
Yeah, maybe.
And looking particularly in Man United's two biggest matches of the season, Leipzig and Man City in the next two matches. He may play a part, he may underwhelm, and Manchester United may find themselves on the other side of a pretty decent drumming on Manchester City's side, but also they could go out of the Champions League. So Cavani, others are out. I think these are two really, really tricky fixtures for Manchester United, and I think he's just a bit worrying. He's just a bit worried that Paul Pogba is a variable that may underwhelm in the next two matches on a really, really big platform for the world to see.
He could do with a big game in this game against Leipzig, couldn't he? I don't think there's any doubt about that, you guys,
He was obviously very good in the second half in his last match, but the first half he was pretty atrocious at times.
Well, they could have been 3-0 down by that point, couldn't they?
Mm. Yeah. I think it's that lack of consistency with Paul Pogba, especially with the type of player that we know he's all capable of, that seems to be sort of letting him down. But it'll be interesting to see whether he's in the starting 11 tonight for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Plenty more Champions League action later as well. Chelsea already through. They face Krasnodar. It'll be interesting to see whether Messi and Ronaldo face each other in Barcelona against Juventus in Group G. I don't reckon either of them will play. The group's done, isn't it? There's all this big narrative about whether or not it's going to happen. I doubt it. But it'll be interesting if it does happen anyway. And it's all to play for in Group H as well. Who will go through, PSG, Leipzig or Manchester United? More on that on tomorrow's show. But before we go, Pete, just a little message from you.
I'd like everyone to know that the Atalanta midfield Matteo Pessina was the player with the Pornhub bag. But perhaps more importantly, if you enjoyed today's show, please get involved and drop us a 5-star review. Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It not only means a lot to us, I read it nightly and smile or frown, depending on what the reviews say. But it does help a lot of other listeners find the Football Ramble. And just head on over to the review section of your podcast app and chuck in 5 stars if you fancy. Write what you want, but definitely give us those 5 stars. We're very much like a mid-90s platformy video game. We need the stars. We are star collectors.
We need it. We love those 5 stars. Be nice, please. Right, thanks, guys. That's all from us on tomorrow's show. Andy, you're going to be back with Jim and Marcus to chat all those Champions League games and the rest of the football news. But that's it from us today. Bye, Pete.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Andy.
Bye.
And bye to you lovely listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.